Okay, Chafem Abayz, Omer Baye, 10 wide lines down from the top. Omer Baye, Tzoa Kolshem Vatla Baroque. You have a little bit of excrement, a little bit of excrement. Yeah, you're mavatal it with a little bit of spit. Let's see. I mean, it's obviously very little bit. So with some spit, you cover it, then you're okay. Let's see. Amarava ubarok ova, but it's got to be thick, sort of more like phlegm as opposed to just saliva. And okay, so let's do Rashi. Koshehu maat. Just a little bit will do it. Baroque, next Rashi, rokek aleo mechasa sa baroque. You got to cover it. Basically, it's got to literally be covered. It's got to be that little that the amount of phlegm that you can produce can literally cover the tzoa. And then you're in business. Amar Rava. So that took care of a little bit of tzoa. Amar Rava tzoa baguma. Let's say there's an open hole and you have excrement in the bottom of the hole. So meniach sandlo alav kore. So by covering it up, if you can cover up the tzoa with roke, you can cover up with your shoe as well, and just cover the hole with your shoe. And meniach sandlo alav kore, and read v'kore kriyashma. You can read kriyashma and not have any problems. Okay, well that takes care of that situation. But boy, mar. Braid Ravina, Tzoa Devuka Besand Leimai. Okay, so the hole I get, but that really is clear. But the question is, what would be if the Tzoa is on the bottom of your shoe? So by you having your foot on the ground, in a sense, you're covering the Tzoa, so Luchar is good again as well. Or do you say, no, the Tzoa is already part of the shoe, and the reason why the Guma worked, the hole in the ground worked, is because it was distinct and separate. It wasn't part of your body, in a sense, does your shoe become part of the body? And on that sense, in that level, teku. So my watalacha teku, the answer is, it's unresolved. I can't resolve it here. We're going to have to wait for Elio to come. Okay. No Rashis. What? Well, Bez Hashem. Yeah, he better. We're relying on him for a lot. Okay, so I'm going to bet a little dalit. I'm Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Akum Arum Osa Likras Kriyashma Kenegdoi. You're not allowed to read Kriyashma opposite a unclothed goy. So Mar says, Dafka goy, Mayor Yaakum, I feel he's Shonami. Why are you Dafka picking on the goy? Well, you can read across a naked Jew, that's better. Mar says, no. You don't get me. He says, Yisrael Pshitale. A Jew is Pashit, that's for sure, Erva, the Usher. There's a question that that you can't read Kriyashma opposite Erva of a Jew. However, Akum Etzurchle, the Chiddush is for an Akum. Because Marate Mohel Viksiv Bey Asher Boso Chamoirim Busaram. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says that their flesh is the flesh of donkeys. So, Eimok Chamor Ba'almuhu, maybe therefore their erva is similar to, would really be no different than an animal's erva. And you are allowed to read opposite an animal's erva. Okay, that would have been another reason not to have pets around, but we'll have to settle for the obvious ones. So he says, Eimok Chamor Ba'almuhu, I might think that therefore the genitalia of a Gentile is no different than the genitalia of an animal. Kamash Balan, the Inunami Ikra Erva. The Chiddush is that they are indeed called Erva. The Ksir Ve'Evers Aviyem Loi Ro. They did not see the nakedness of a father, famous Pasuk in Noach, as Shem and Yefes went to cover Noach. So that's clearly right that it's called Erva. And therefore, you're not allowed to read even opposite a Goy. Okay? No Rashi's.
A Goy? Was it Ksir Ve'Evers a Goy?
Well, he wasn't a Jew. There were no Jews yet in the world. So, yeah. I mean, I guess so. I mean, Zetman the Fun, yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, you need the kedusha. Right. Well, I guess not. Maybe Mitzrayim saying at that point he was about as holy as you can get. So maybe he'd be different. But maybe a guy once is Jews. Maybe a guy takes on a lower stature. But apparently not. Apparently, you have to be. If you don't have that kedushas Yisrael, then you're a guy. Then you're the same as everybody else. Okay. Let's proceed. So if you read the Mishnah straight up, it sounds like you can't cover yourself if you're in smelly waters or waters of flax, which also are really putrid and pretty gross, or you have to put water inside of it in order to say Shema. But it sounds like if you put water inside of it, it's okay. Now you're going down into a mikvah, you have 40 saw of putrid water. How much water do you have to put up? It's like, seems untenable. What, do you have to vatala mikveh? I mean, you have to bring in like the whole Arrowhead truck and dump the whole thing into your mikveh? I mean, what, come on, what's going on here? How much water do you, can you put into the mikveh? So where it says, no, you don't understand. It says like this, this is what the Mishnah means. Lo yiskase lo mayim aroyim lo mayim mishra klal. You can't use the mikvah water of may mishra or mayim aroyim, bad water, smelly water at all. Forget about it. You're going to have to find another place to say Shema. And if you're stuck, then you're stuck, but you can't do that. Can't fudge those games. However, umei raglayim, if you're near urine, that's a different story. Then you can put water into the urine and revatel it, and you're good to go. It doesn't tell you how much, but you put water in. We'll see in a minute how much. Let's take a look at the Rashi's here. May hamisha shisharim shama pishton vakanvus. Okay. One second. Yeah, okay. So I guess that's where we're up to. Mayim aram suruchim. So back up a little bit. Mayim aram suruchim, the smelly water. May amishra shisharan shama pishton vakanvas ve masrichim. The same thing with the water that has the flax floating in there. Vakam mayim aram vazal. How much water do you put in? Okay, that's actually the next line of the Gemara. Let's just read this Rashi ready. We're here ready. Kamu yashal chetochem yivatleim. Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the original kasha. Sorry about that. The Gemara's question is, why you're in a mikvah. How much water in the world do you put in to mivatle it? Kamu yashal chetochem yivatleim halo merume. There's so much. So how could you possibly really do that? What kind of practical eitzah is that to put water in? The Gemara says, you're right, it's not. And there's no practical eitzah. You shouldn't daven there, you shouldn't say Shema there at all. Umeiraglayim, next Rashi, but if you have Meiraglayim, Muatim, in a little bit vein bakli, and they're in a vessel, Vubalikras Kriyashma Etzlam, and you want to read Kriyashma next to the Meiraglayim, then you have to put some water in. Okay, so Tanar Bon, all right, so now we're good. We're even with the Rashi and with the Gemara, let's proceed. Tanarabana, back to the Gemara. Kam yitel tochon mayim kolshu. Kam yitel tochon mayim, or kam yitel tochon. So he says, how much water should you put in order to nullify that urine in the receptacle, in the keli? How much water do you put in to nullify it? My answer is kolshu, or mayim kolshu, whatever. So kolshu, the answer is just a little bit, in any amount. The smallest amount that you add, again, this is part of the kula of urine, because urine is not like excrement, doesn't have that deraisa dika level about it, and therefore,
but it smells.
That's a different issue. Right now, we're not worried about the smell. We're focused on the
urine may not smell.
Urine doesn't always smell. Okay, so he says, it's a kolshu. The small amount of water is good enough. For Zakei Eimer Revius, so Rav Zakei says, a revius is what you need. It's anywhere between 3 to 5 ounces. We average it out at about 4.1. So revius is what you need. Rav Nachman then chimes in about this machlokes between Rav Zakkai and the Tana Kama. Rav Nachman, machlokes l'psoif. The machlokes of how much you have to put in. You have to put in a little bit, any amount, or you have to put in a reviyas, is only when the water is coming in l'psoif at the end. But if the water is in the beginning there first, and you're putting the urine into the water, then everyone agrees the smallest amount of water will be sufficient, because of the principle, as Rashi will explain, of kama kama bottle, that the minute when you pour something into something else, even though generally you need a little bit more than that, but here there were mekel that even the smallest amount, the drop that the first smallest drop of urine that gets poured into the vessel with water becomes bottled to the water that's greater than it. And that continues even though then you're eventually going to outweigh the water with urine, and certainly it's counterintuitive that should be able to vatel it, but there's a principle in halacha of kama kama bottle, and therefore you're in business. Okay, that's Rav Nachman. The machlokes is lipsayif, but not betchila. Rav Yosef Omer machlokes lechatchila, abu b'sayif divar kol revius. He turns it around, Rav Yosef. He says the whole machlokes is when you're putting it in first. Do you say kama kama bottle with the smallest amount, or you say kama kama bottle with a revius? Abu b'sayif, but at the end when you're putting the urine later, divar kol revius. Everyone's going to agree you need a revius. Amr Rav Yosef l'shamay, Isili Rav Yosef d'maya kerb zakai. Rav Yosef once had some urine near where he was going to daven, and he told his shamas to bring me revius like Rav Zakkai to be machmir. It doesn't say in the Gemara whether the water was there first or the urine was there first, but he asked for revius for sure. So definitely was machmir on the amount. That's for sure. Okay, Rashi's. Lipsaif, yeah, right, lipsaif. Okay, shemei reglayim b'kli, that you have urine in the vessel, and then you want to put water into that vessel, but you come Rav Zakkai revius. That's where Rav Zakkai says revius. This is the first interpretation. Aval l'chatchila. Shekodmu hamayim l'mei reglayim, but from the outset, where the water precedes the urine, divrei kol kolshu, everyone will agree, according to Rav Nachman, that the smallest amount of water will get the job done. Why? Shek shematel mereglayim bekli, okay, lipsoif, okay, when you put the urine in second, rishon shofel l'toch hamayim is batel. The very first drops, as they keep coming onto the water, become nullified into the majority of the water. V'afi sheim rabim, even though they are ultimately much more, they're many. V'ochen, as they keep going, there's going to be a lot more urine than there is water. Kfar bitlu, it's already too late. It's already batel. So it's a big kula, but it's one that we have in halacha, and we use it, kama kama bottle. Okay, so what Rav Yosef was once going with a shamus, he says, Aisli Rav Yosef afilu betchila. So Rashi answers the question that I alluded to, that what is this at the beginning and the end? Even at the beginning, where he's going to put the urine into the water, he insists on a revius amount of water, and that's where he would use kama kama bottle. He wouldn't use it by a kol shu. Okay, Torah Bonan. This is more, now we're about to get into a little bit more into what Mr. Reichik was referring to in terms of the smell, because receptacles are actually worse, right? The urinals are actually worse than the urine, okay? Because they have it absorbed in there, and B, they have a lot of it constantly, so they really end up becoming more repulsive than the urine itself. So turn our button, let's see. Graf shel rei, if you have a receptacle for excrement, va'avit shel meraglayim, or a urinal that holds the urine water, also likros kreshma k'naydon. Okay, even when they're not full, you can't read Shema opposite those items. V'afi she'em behem klum, right, even though there's nothing in it, it's empty. So it's not about the excrement that's in the kli, it's about the kli itself. Umeglaim atzman, and as far as the urine itself, achi tolotochen mayim, and you have to put some water into the urine. Vakam yitolotochen mayim kolshu. How much you have to put in? The Tanakhama says only a little bit. Rizakai em revius. Rizakai says no way. You got to put a revius in. No, questions asked. Okay, now the question is, where are these receptacles located in relation to the bed that you're sleeping in? Because generally, they had these things near your bed that you wouldn't have to walk far to take care of your physical needs. So the Braisa continues, Bein lefnei amita, bein la'ach amita. And this is true whether it's in front of the bed or behind the bed, whether the bed separates it from you or not. He says, you cannot, if you're davening in that direction, you cannot say Shema. Okay, let's see, we'll do the Rashi's momentarily. If the graf shel rei or the ovid shel meraglim is behind the bed, then it's okay because you got the bed separating and serving as a mechitza between the graf shel rei and the bed and you. So the bed is the mechitza.
What's behind the bed? Past the where the feet go or past where the head goes?
Yeah, I think both would be behind in relation to where you are. If it's on the other side of the bed, then you the bed separates, I guess, in either direction. I guess it might depend on where you're facing with Mizrach and the whole thing. But let's see if Rashi helps us, but I don't think it makes a difference. Okay, but if it's before the bed, in front of the bed, where you can see it, where there's no separation, and you cannot read, but you have to distance yourself 4 amos and then read. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that the bed is a mechitza number one, but if the bed can't serve as a mechitza, then you marchik dalan amos and go ahead and read. Rabbi Shimon says, "Omer afilu bayis meya amo lo yikra." If you're in a house, if that room is 100 amos large, big, it doesn't make a difference. You still would not be allowed to read in that room. The entire room becomes the similar status as the Graf Sharei. Okay, that's Reb Shimon Elazar. One more time. I feel by his Meya Amalikra at Shotzim. Either you take it out, or Shenichem Tachasimito, you put it underneath the bed where it can get completely, consumed and covered up by the bed, then you'd have no problem. Okay, so you have three different opinions here. Okay, so let's go back in the Rashi's here before we get to the Boi Elohu. Grafa Ovid, Shneim Kli Cheres, they're both earthenware, and they discuss if it's not earthenware, material, what the halach would be, because earthenware for sure is, it absorbs and really smells. So he says, one second, Shem Kli Cheres Heim, Elo Shel Rei Kori Graf, Shel Meraglim Kori Ovid. When you're talking about the excrement, it's called Graf, and when it's called Meraglim, it's called an Ovid. Just different terminologies for what they hold. Since they are uniquely designated for these purposes, even though there's nothing inside, it's still going to be a major problem. If you have urine in a kli that's not designated for that, you had no choice and you had to urinate in some bottle or something, and it's certainly not designated for that. So then you have to just put a little bit in. So what, as far as the Graf Sharei, where can you put it? And what conditions would exist to allow you to read Shema in that room? She says, Bein lefnei amita, she'ein amita mafsekes ben olaveinam, where the mita, if the bread does not create a separation, the bed does not create a separation between between you and the Graf. Bein la'ach amita, whether it's behind the bed, shamita mafsekes beneim, where the bed is mafsik between you, so you set up like a little mechitza. The bed, it serves as a mechitza. Doesn't matter. According to the Tanakhama, it doesn't matter. Okay? It's still going to be oshneim tachas hamita. That looks garcinum velo garcinum kli betol kli. Okay? I don't think we had that. But what happens to the Rishon Yamil says if it's a room that's even 100 amos big, you still have to not read Shema until you remove it. Oh, shenichim tachas semita. So kilo yitzvun baratz. It's like it's when it's under the bed. It's like it's in the ground because you got the. We'll see. You got the loved action for sure going on if it's under three tefachim, and in that situation the bed completely sort of surrounds and buries the meraglayim, the ovit shel meraglayim or the graf shel rei. Okay, so we had three different opinions. So now we're going to want to analyze ibaylu back to the Gemara. Ibaylu. So the shaila that we have is heichikamar achamita. Heichikamar. What do you mean when we said? Rav Shimon Gamliel, remember, look, let's go back to that line for a minute. So Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, Imer la'ach amita korei, lefnei amita ena korei. He starts off with a very clear, definitive statement that if you're behind the bed, you can read, and if you're in front of the bed, you can't. Avol, ma'achik ramam is for korei. So we don't...
What is before the bed or after the bed?
Is the bed separating, if it's behind the bed... Okay, call it behind the bed. If it's behind the bed, then the bed separates you and the graf sharei. If it's in front of the bed, then you're in the same, you're in the same position, in the same place as the graf sharei. There's no mechitza. So, but then he ends with the words avamachik hu arba amos v'korei. Right. So he ends with these words, but you distance yourself 4 amos and you read. So these words, we're not sure where they belong. Si boilu hechi kamar. When you have a mechitz of the bed, you read right away. You don't have to worry. And then he's saying that the 4 amos comes in when you are in front of the bed, together with the graf shel rei. You have to distance yourself 4 amos, then you can read. Odilmo, is that what he's saying? And that's how you read Reb Shimon Gamliel? Or Odilmo Achikamar? Maybe he means like this. If it's behind the bed, even though you have a mechitza separating, still you have to back it away 4 amos, you have to back away you or 4 amos from that place. Okay? And if they amita in a koraklau, when it's in front, forget it. The dal amos is not going to help you. You can't read it all. So are we going to read it in a more machmedic way? Like the second way, or you read it the more makeldik way, like the first way. So which way is it? We're not sure exactly how to understand Rav Shimon Gamliel. So Toshma. So come in here, and even though the names are going to be confused, but hopefully we'll get the answer to our Shiloh. Toshma, the Tanya, says in the Bryce as follows. I'll give you a little bit of a heads up that the names are going to be turned around here, but let's see. Rav Shimon Loza Oimer. Rav Shimon Loza says, and this is going to sound like Rav Shimon Gamliel, Acha Mita Kore Miyad. Well, there you have it. If it's behind the bed, you can read it right away, and you don't have to back away 4 amos because the bed's a mechitza. If it's in front of the bed, Marchik Arba Amos, you have to distance yourself 4 amos. Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "Afilu bayis mea amalikra at your team oshinim tachasamita." Okay, so clearly the two positions. The first one is the one we were asking about. Clearly, the Brisa resolves it because the Brisa says, "If it's in front of the, if it's behind the bed, you can read right away, and you have a mechitza." So the Gemara says, "Boyin ifshitalon." You did resolve our shaila. Thank you very much. However, we got the names all mixed up now. Mesnisa Kashna Dadi. But the opinions are in contradiction to one another. Bryce says, not a problem. Epech Basraisa. Just turn around the names of the second Bryce and you're in business. Mara says, second Bryce? My chaz is Afchas Basraisa, Epech Kamaisa. What if to turn around the second one? Turn around the first. I mean, for the same money, how do you know which way to go? The answer is very simple. Who's the opinion who says an entire house is like 4 amos? It's Rav Shimon Elazari. And it's Rav Shimon Elazari. So if it makes sense, if I'm going to switch anybody, I'm going to make sure that Rav Shimon Elazari ends up on a consistent basis on his position that an entire house is like 4 amos. You have this concept also by the Tilos Adayim sometimes, walking more than 4 amos. Some people run and lose it by yarmulke, which is also not so poshut, you know. But they there is such a concept of an entire house being one big room, being like 4 amos. So that position, that opinion belongs to Shimon Elazar. I'm going to keep it consistent with him. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, we did resolve our shiloh. Let's take a look at Rashi. Tachas hamita kilo itum we did that. Heichi kamar shem gamliel. So bayin if shetalon yes shaltanu shelosenu nisparshala. Okay, b'cholok shebein lefne amita lachamita. You did answer our shaila about the difference between in front of the bed and behind the bed. Yes, you got that nailed. However, masnisa miyukashin shochafu shitasan, that the opinions are interchanged. So what's going on? So man shamle loydati heichan he. So even though the Gemara says that we know that Rishim Lazar holds a certain opinion, Rashi says, I don't know where that is. I've combed through Shas and I can't find it. So looks like Rabbi K. Vega might have an opinion on it, but other people as well, but Rashi could not find it. Okay, so that takes care of the Rashi. So we are good to go. Let's proceed. Amar Yosef. Okay, but five lines before it gets wide. Amar Rav Yosef, boy me name Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef says, I asked a shal from Rav Huna. Mita pochas b'shosha pshitl d'kolavadami. Okay, a bed that's less than three, and you've got the graph shalrei underneath that bed, that's like loved, and there's nothing to talk about. Because we know in Hilchas Sukkah as well, many other halachas, that when it's less than three distance, tfachim, between one thing and another, it's viewed as closed. It's closed up. So, so therefore here too, if the bed is under three tefachim tall, and then you have the graf shari underneath it, that will get sucked in to the bed, because the bed is like it's on the ground, and everything is good. However, what about shleisha deklavadami? Shlosha bo chamisha shisha shiva shmona tisha mahu? What to deal with 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? What to deal with those amounts? I don't know. I'm not sure if a bed has an open space of up to 9 tfachim. I don't know. A saravadi lomi boili. I definitely don't have a shayla about 10 tfachim. Okay, because 10 is viewed like a different rishus altogether. And then, I guess, yeah, let's see. And lchorish for sure should be good. Let's see. I'm not sure. Maybe it's saying it's no good. Let's see. One more time, he says, "Mau amalei leidana, saravade lo mi boili." Okay, he says, "Amar Abaye." So Abaye says, "Shapravata lo doloi boilcha." Okay, it's certainly good that you didn't have a shaila about 10, because kol asar rishus achriti, because every 10 is another domain. So being another domain, let's see Rashi here. What does it do that it's another domain? Does that make it good or does that make it bad? He says, "Pshitali," says the Gemara. Okay, we're in Rashi. B'menichan tachas amita v'ragla kitzarim. If you put underneath the bed and it's got very short legs, she'ein heimenol kakashosh etvachim, you don't have a 3 tefach distance between the bed and the ground. Kolavadami v'rehein kitzmunim. Then I know the graf sharei is like it's buried and it's all good. Asar vadilo sha'alti mimenu d'nira kilu eino tachta. Okay, so Rashi tells us that it means it's not going to work. If it's 10 tefachim for sure, it's not a covering, because it's a whole different domain. 10 tefachim high, it's a whole other rishus. We know that from many other areas in Shas, that 10 tefachim takes on its own rishus, and there's no way you're going to view it. It's covered by the bed. What about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Because the love has got to be under 3. If it hits 3, then love it ends. So it's less than 3 tefachim is loved. So what do you do 3 through 9? And he says, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. But you're right about 10. That was good. So Rava says back to the Gemara. Amar Rava hilchasa pachas mishloisha kolavadami. If it's less than 3, for sure it's like loved. Asar rishus achriti. And if it's 10, for sure it's another rishus, and you're in trouble. Three to nine is what the shaila that Rav Yosef asked Rav Huna, and it was not resolved. Okay, so it's a little recap. It didn't really help us, but that recapped the whole situation.
So instead of saying teku, they just say it's not resolved.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's really a teku.
It sounds like a teku. I mean, let's see. Yeah, that's definitely the way we seem to be saying right now. What? Yeah, I mean, there might be a technical difference between a teku and between an unresolved shaila. I don't know if every single unresolved shaila is in a teku. I think you need a certain, you know, statement officially by the Gemara that's a teku.
So I guess there's no teku, really, what you're saying is that somebody didn't know the answer, they just don't know
Maybe this is one
Eliyahu
doesn't know.
Well, or I think
really in trouble.
No, I think maybe the this is just off the top of my head that there's teku, sort of is a definitive state. It's unresolved. And so if you find another statement of Gemara, this is teku. Well, here, it's if you can find a raya to this concept, it's open season for you to try to resolve it. It's not like officially unresolved. Okay, he says, so back to the Gemara. Amar v'alacha, k'rib shimmer l'azhar, Amar Rav, I'm sorry, Amar Rav v'alacha, k'rib shimmer l'azhar. Rav Paskins, like k'rib shimmer l'azhar, v'chein Bali, v'chein Amar, Baali, Amar of Yaakov, brought the Bashmuel, halacha, k'rib shimmer l'azhar. Okay, another interesting name, we haven't had him too often. The daughter of Bashmuel, okay, was like k'rib shimmer l'azhar. Rav Amar ain't like k'rib shimmer l'azhar. Rav says, no, I disagree. Okay, the halacha is not like k'rib shimmer l'azhar. Okay, and I guess like it's like Rav Shimon Gamliel, maybe like the Tanakh, I'm not sure. But it's not like Rav Shimon Elazar. Okay, Rav Shimon Elazar was the one who said the whole room is like, you know, like four Amis, and he was very big Machmir. Okay, Rav Ochoy Asik Lebrei Barav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa. So Rav Shimon Ben Elazar, Rav Ochoy married off his son to the daughter of Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa. So Ayla Chuppa. So they brought him into the chuppah, okay, where they're supposed to have bia. Vav Masai Milsa didn't go. The bia didn't go. Okay. Ozel Batshal Yune. So they sent the message back. Tati, it ain't going. The relations are not happening. So he says, Ozel Batshal Yune, he went to see what's going on, what's the problem with that room that the bia is not happening. So Chaza, Sefer Torah, the mantra. He saw Sefer Torah. I'm not going to say the wedding hall because, you know, I don't want to cast aspersions, but he told the wedding hall, we'll call it the Ritz, you know, hey, you know, you rented me a room here and you left us have a turn in the room. And that was the Yichud room where in those days that was the room that they had relations and you leave us have a Torah there. Amaluhu Echa Ichu Hashal I saw, he told the managers of the Ritz, if I didn't come right now, Sakanta Labri, you'd make literally put my son in a Mokum Sakana. Okay, to leave a Sefer Torah in a place where, I guess the son didn't notice it, okay, in a place where there's a relations going on, the Tanya, because that's in the Braisa, Bayi Sheish Bo Sefer Torah, Otfilin, Oslo Shamish Bo Esamita, Ashur Tzim, you have to either take them out, O Shinichem Kli B'to Kli, put them into a vessel within a vessel. So what in the world did you do to me? Okay, so let's just a little, let's catch up here, if there are any Rashis. Ayla Chuppah, the Nesuin did not materialize because he could not have beer. Sakantum Labri. Kamat Sakantam Esbini Lomus Bo'inish Avon. That's how severe. Whoa, scary. Okay, you Mamish put my son to, I'm not sure why the girl's not in danger. Maybe it's the boy's fault. The man is the one who's blamed. She only seemed to talk about his son. But you put my son in danger. He could have been killed by this episode. To have been in the same room, again, these were holy people, to have been in the same room, as the Sefer Torah says Rav Achoy, that you put my son in danger. Something terrible could have happened. So, not a good idea. He says, Vaiter, Amar Baye, no more Rashis. Okay, so we have one Rashi left. Amar Baye, loishanu elu b'kli she'enu kelyon. When do we say it's a kli b'to kli? If the kli is not designated for its covering. Sefer Torah covering is not called one of the covers, because that's meant for a Sefer Torah. Avo b'kli shu kelyoin, but if the kli which is covering, afila sarmani kechad manadami. It is one, but if even 10 are like one, but you need another one besides that. 10 of the same are like one. Look at Rashi. Afila sarmani v'kulon kelyoin kechad manadami. All of the 10 are viewed as only one. Okay, Amar Rava. So Rava says, as we get to the next page, Amar Rava Glima Akatmara Kikli B'Tokli Dami. So if you have a glima, some kind of a cloak, some kind of a big garment, Akatmara, look at Rashi, Argishel Sfarim. There's some kind of a chest where they would put Sfarim in there. So, Megillah Kamatri de Safri, Vichain Targum Yenison, Venizme Broimim Almond and Zahirin Machta b'kemorin. Okay, course of pasuk Yecheskel devechein l'ashal mechama l'dal kemitra. So some kind of a chest. I'm not sure. Also, these two references of Malachim either.
Kashmir, it looks like it says it has to be a special thing.
Correct. It has to be something different, not something that's typically. But a cloak on top of a chest is kekli b'tol kli. So I guess, I don't know, maybe those the references are like coverings or protections, right? Almin de zehirin, machtam b'kemit.
Well, here it says, because the cloak is not a usual covering for the books, Rashi.
Mm-hmm.
The cloak is a valid covering, even though it is merely draped over the cabinet and it is not wrapped underneath it.
Correct. Okay, right, let's do the next Rashi, which is what you're referring to. Keklibato kli dami, the haglima lav kalinu. A glima is not its normal kli. So therefore, everything is good. That's considered klibato kli, and then so if you put the Sefer Torah into a chest and you cover it with a thing, then you're good. Amar Yishuv ben Levi, Sefer Torah Torah Lassus la mechitza asara. He says, even that's not good enough. You need a full mechitza of 10 tefachim separating. You have to put in a different domain. Mazutra ikul be Ravashi chazi l'duchte the ma'ab Ravashi the monach be sefer Torah. So he says Mazutra came to the house of Ravashi and he saw chazi l'duchte near his bed the ma'ab Ravashi the monach be sefer Torah. Okay, that he had the sefer Torah near his bed. Vavad le mechitz asar and he made a mechitz of 10. Amalei kaman k'rishu ben Levi. Okay, he said, "Who's this like?" He says, "It's like Rabbi Shimon Levi." He says, "Well, even though Rabbi Shimon Levi, the less lay base achrina." Okay, that's to rely on Rabbi Shimon Levi is not so posh because that's only said when they have no other place to put it. So you're stuck because you make a mechitza. Mara is lay base achrina. You have other places. Amalei lavadatoy. He says, "You know, it really lo nachta libi." Rashi says, "It wasn't on my mind, so you got me. Thank you very much for you know making me realize it." I didn't notice it, but so this whole heter of making a mechitz is only true if you have no other place. If you have another place, you should put it in another place. Okay, kama yarchik mehen umenatzor arba amos. So how much should you distance yourself from the urine and the tzoa? 4 amos. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Schayra, Amar Rav Huna. Leishanu el achurav. That's only if it's behind you. Dalar amos is enough. Avlofanov, but if it's in front of you and you look, you can see it. Marchik maleinov. You have to distance your full eyesight. Okay. Marchik maleinov. Then that's good. I mean, what does that mean? Marchik maleinov. You have to distance yourself that you can't see it anymore. That's what it sounds like. Okay, v'chein l'tfilin. Same thing is true for davening. Mar says, really? Eini v'amr of Rafa bar Papa, v'amr of Chizda, v'amin adam k'negebesa kisei mispalo. You tell me that I can't even have it in my eyesight. What about Rav Chizda's statement that he says that a lot of person allowed to stand in front of a bathroom, a besa kisei, and he can daven? Because it's far off in the distance. That's a special bathroom that doesn't have any excrement. Really? Eini v'amr of Yosef bar Chanina besa kisei shemraf pisha ein botsoa? Okay, but we know that a basic kisei doesn't have to have excrement. Once it's designated as a basic kisei, it is what it is. It's been used for that, and even if it's been cleaned out, it's still a basic kisei. Even though there's nobody there, it is a base merchatz, and it has its already tainted level. So what's going on? How come he davened opposite the Beis HaKisei. He said, Allah HaMaskinon B'chadati. The answer is, it was a brand new Beis HaKisei, was never used yet. Really? Never used? But there was a Shiloh that was asked Ravina, his minul Beis HaKisei, mahu? Yesh zimun, oein zimun. So it was a whole big Shiloh about whether or not you designate a Beis HaKisei, does that designation make it into something that is already a Beis HaKisei or not? So he says, so l'chayra, if it was never designated yet, and if he daven there, so that sounds like he's committing to the idea that it doesn't count, because if designation counts, and once it's designated, you shouldn't be allowed to daven.
Was it designated or wasn't used?
Hizmin was not used. Once it's used, you're done. Then you're done. Right. But if it didn't use, but it was designated, is that was a shayla. So he says, ki kami boile l'ravina l'meikim alei l'tzliyei begavei. Okay, the whole shaila of whether Zimun works by basic kisei that's been designated is only about going inside to daven there. I will connect the light, but when it comes to being opposite it and having it in a distance, that's no shaila, and that's why that Rav Chizkiah was able to stand there, because it, for sure it's okay. And Amar Rava, will end with this, and this has implications for our bathrooms today. Amar Rava, Hani Bati Kisoy de Parsoy, the bathrooms of the Persians, Avagav de Isbeit, so even though there is excrement that goes there, obviously, Kistum and Domui, they would have these holes in the ground. Look at the last Rashi before the Mishnah, the Parsoy, Bechafira Hayu, it was with digging. Upiem Brichak Minaguma, and their opening was far from the hole, ubi shifua, and it was slanted, varei mizgalgav and ofal guma, and the excrement would fall into the bottom of the hole. So bottom line is, it's almost like these outhouses, in Yosemite, these places where it's down there, but it's far away. Maybe in those situations, they don't have the same status, and that seems to be the argument for a lot of, because by us, it gets totally, taken away. Okay, but the Gemara says that doesn't count as a regular basic kisei. Shkoyach.